The new year, 2020, is over. Some are celebrating. 2021 has started. Some are nervous. New year resolutions, they're being made by many people. People were looking at our lives, what to change. What are we going to change this new year? We're looking at, what do we start? What do we start doing this new year? What do we stop doing this new year? And these are all good things. I would encourage you to do these things. As individuals, we should evaluate these things in our lives. So what are your goals for 2021? I hope you have some goals. We never stop growing. We never stop learning. We never stop advancing, or I hope that we don't. There's always more in God for us to experience and to uncover and to know, and closer relationship with Him to be had. Where can you improve in your life from last year or the years before? Questions like, what can you stop doing, or what can you start doing this year that will make you a better version of who God has created you to be? That's the questions that we should be asking of ourselves individually in your lives. So as your pastor, I encourage you, as you evaluate these things, to add in Bible reading. It's extremely important. As we've seen over this last little while, knowing what the Bible says is extremely important. And I would encourage you to add in prayer. Prayer is extremely important. Bible reading. If you aren't reading your Bible, start. Start with 5 minutes. Start with something, but read your Bible every day. If you are reading your Bible, add 5 more minutes on to whatever you're reading right now. Prayer, the same thing. If you're not praying, start. Prayer and Bible reading are essentials to this Christian life. If we want to advance and grow and maneuver through what the world has to offer and make it out the other side, we need Bible in our life. We need to know what the Word of God says, and we need to be praying people. As good and as important as those things are, that's not what I want to talk about this morning. While as individuals we're recalibrating, we're changing, not much has changed regarding the mission of the church. We can and often should adapt how we do some things. That's true, that's fair. Style and presentation. But the goal, the purpose, never changes. It never changes. As we start this new year, as I look out over the last year, as I see all that's happened in the world around us, I want to bring us back to our mission and our purpose as a church. 3 years ago, when we first became pastors of this church, we started with 3 words: love, serve, and become. You haven't heard that much lately. That's on me. But that, love, serve, and become, is the direction, the vision, and the purpose of Alpine with me as your pastor. Love. It starts with loving God. That's the beginning. It sounds simple, but we lose that sometimes. It starts with loving God with all we are and have and ever will be. But that also includes loving our neighbor as ourselves. The first question we ask is, who is our neighbor? That's a fair question. Jesus answered it for us, but we don't always like his answer. Our neighbor is the one out there. Our neighbor is the one beside us. Our neighbor is that politician. Our neighbor is the police officer, the teacher, the whoever. They're our neighbor, who we are to love. Everything we do needs to begin out of a love for God. And everything we do needs to flow into love for our neighbor. Love never fails. There's lots of things we can do and try that can and will fail. But love never fails. It is impossible because God never fails. And God is love. Love never fails. So we have love and we have serve. We desire to serve our community and the world around us. What we do as a church needs to involve the community around us. Church is not about simply Sunday morning. Sunday morning is the culmination of all that we do, so it is extremely important. A lot of focus and time and effort is put into Sunday morning because it matters. But if all we do is Sunday morning, we're missing it. How can we serve the community around us? What do they need? What can we offer? What can we do? How can we be the hands and the feet and the voice of Christ in the community around us? A question that is always there and needs to be answered is, if Alpine was to close its doors tomorrow, would Swift Current care? Love, serve, and become. The goal of our Christian walk is to become like Jesus. That's our goal, is to become like him, to be so close to him that we become like him. To live in a way that we are the hands, the feet, and the voice of Christ in this earth. If our life is not looking more and more like Christ, however slowly that change might be happening, we're missing it. We are told to imitate Jesus. Imitate, do what he did. Act like he acted. Talk like he talked. Do the things that he did. We're told to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. We're to become like him. There's supposed to be a change in us that makes us look more like him, that draws us closer to him. That when people hear us speak, they hear his words. The actions that we take are his actions in and through us to the world around us. Love, serve, become. I stress this because we need to know why we're here, why we gather, what our purpose is. I've seen a lot of things over this last year in the church in general. So that we can move forward and leave what's in the past and move on to what God has for us, I want to address these issues this morning so that we can move forward in unity. If it doesn't fit one of these three things, love, serve, and become, then for Alpine, it is a distraction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you that you have a purpose for us, that you have a purpose for your church, that you're building your church and you're advancing your kingdom, and you use us to do it. We invite you, Holy Spirit, right now into this room, into every heart, into every, to touch every life here and those watching live. We ask you to meet us where we are, to speak to us in ways that we will know and understand your voice, to give us truth and understanding, and to do among us, Holy Spirit, what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. So this message is going to be, what is the purpose of the church? What is Alpine here for? And what is going on in the world around us? For some, we may not like this message. For others, we may love this message. But this is a message that needs to be given so the church is in unity. Because if we're a church, if the church in general is off in all kinds of distractions, we're missing it, we're not together, and we're losing power. There are many issues in the world around us. As a church, we need to stand for justice. However, this might look different than some may expect. As an example, pro-life. As a church, are we pro-life? Absolutely. As your pastor, am I pro-life? Absolutely. So that means that we will support the pro-life cause. That does not mean, necessarily, that we will be out as a church holding picket signs. There seems to be an impression in the church world that if you do not have a picket sign in your hand, you are somehow not fighting a cause. Nonsense. We support, as a church, the pro-life cause through prayer, finances, building use, and many other ways, which I believe does way more than a picket sign ever will. There are so many stats of people dropping off of church. Churches losing the people that are attending, losing growth, especially in the younger generations. I believe it's because they look out and they see a church that is irrelevant to their lives. They look out and they see a church that they don't want to become like. And I can understand how they feel, because I look out and I see a church, generally speaking, that I don't want to become like. They look out and I look out and I see a church who is against a lot of things, fights a lot with others and themselves, a church who is divided, a church who is entitled, a church who is religious, a church who would rather judge the sinner than love the sinner, a church that would rather be served than serve, a church that's willing to fight tooth and nail for their rights, but not really giving up much for Christ, a church who's willing to hold a picket sign in the sun or the rain, come all weather, to stand against something wrong or unjust, but not really willing to be out there in the dirty handing out clothes and food to those without. A church who's willing to fight in every way imaginable to keep Sunday service just how they feel it should be, to then go and live nothing like Jesus Monday to Saturday. I look over this last year and I see a church in general so busy with arguing and fighting and theories and conspiracies and presidents and governments. We seem to be so busy with these things that we've forgotten our first love. We've forgotten sound biblical doctrine, love and unity. We've forgotten the poor and the widow and the outcast, the gospel, salvation. As a church, as your pastor, when faced with issues like 2020 brought to us, we will face and address those issues. We will fight in appropriate ways if necessary. We will adapt wherever possible. But most importantly, we will continue with the gospel as most important. But as a church and as your pastor, we will not entertain theories and conspiracies and other side issues. There is one source of truth, the Word of God. There is one gospel as presented in the Word of God. The very first time that a theory was introduced was brought in by the devil in Genesis, Genesis 3. Did God really say? I've read it, but did God really mean that? Maybe God meant this instead. Surely God knows. I know what it says, but surely God knows you won't actually die. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 and 4 in the Amplified. But now I am fearful, lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For you seem readily to endure it, if a man comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you once received, or a different gospel from the one you then received and welcomed. You tolerate all that well enough. Galatians 1, 7 to 9. Not that there is or could be any other genuine gospel, but there are obviously some who are troubling and disturbing and bewildering you with a different kind of teaching, which they offer as a gospel and want to pervert and distort the gospel of Christ, the Messiah, into something which it absolutely is not. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to and different from that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel different from or contrary to that which you received from us, let him be accursed. There is not some secret revelation that all of Christianity is somehow missing, except some select group of people that are somehow more enlightened than all the others. Wow. It's doom and gloom. There is hope, however. There is good news that if we can wade through all of these distractions, we will find that Jesus Christ himself is building a church. Jesus Christ himself is preparing a bride. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter replies, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "On this rock, on this revelation, I will build my church." This church Jesus is talking about, with Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, this church, the gates of Hades will not prevail. This church will be given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This church, whatever it binds on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever it looses is loosed. This church has authority. This church has power. This church changes the world around it. This church turns the world upside down. What did this Jesus do as he began to build this church? If we could sum it up, what would that sound like? Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What were the people commanded to do? Verse 42, preach to the people, herald the message, and testify what they saw, what God's done in their life. How did Paul live this out? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, he said that he determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What mission did Jesus give to the 12? Luke chapter 9, the 12 were sent to preach the kingdom and heal the sick. Herald the message, spread the good news, heal the sick. What mission was given for the 70? In Luke 10, they were sent to heal the sick and say, herald the message, the kingdom of God has come. What about the rest of us? Mark 16, preach the gospel, herald the message, heal and deliver. Matthew 28, our famous commission, make disciples, teach what I have commanded. That's what we're given to do. That's what the mission of the church is. That's what the mission of our lives is to be. There are a lot of side issues that might be interesting, that might interest us individually. There might be a lot of things that there's truth to. There might be a lot of things that's full of baloney. But the mission of the church doesn't change. How can we sum this up? Why does all of this matter so much? What's my job as your pastor? 2 Timothy 4 reads, I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and his kingdom, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You, as the preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. Convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having itching ears for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. And they will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Preach the word. That's the message given to every pastor, and that's the message given to every follower of Christ. Herald the message. Maybe you'll have a microphone and a platform. Maybe you'll have a coffee table. Maybe you'll have a restaurant table. Maybe you'll have a kitchen table. Whatever your platform is, herald the message. The gospel, the word of truth as given in the scriptures. Convince, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and teaching. Why? Because a time will come when the people won't endure sound doctrine. They'll follow their own desires, whatever they want to think, whatever they want to think sounds good. They'll find themselves teachers that'll give them what they think sounds good. And then they will turn away from the truth to what? To fables, to myths, and man-made fiction. What do? Be watchful. Endure. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. These are the things that matter. The work of an evangelist. Who cares about some theory when people are going to hell? It might be interesting. It might be your thing. But let it be a side thing. Because the gospel matters most. We might be very angry at the government. And that's maybe proper. But that's a side thing to the gospel. Because who cares if the government does everything we want them to do when people are going to hell? If we do these things, love, serve, and become, that is how we will turn the world upside down. That is how we will partner with Jesus to build his church and to advance his kingdom. As individuals, you are, I am, we are free to do what we like. That's part of the freedom that God gives us. We're free to listen to whoever and whatever we want to listen to. I don't have control over what you listen to. We're free to be involved with whatever we want to be involved with. I don't have control over what you are involved with. Whatever each of us chooses to do is up to us and between us and God. But as a church, we can now know what is a distraction and what is our mission. Nothing can stop Jesus and his church. But the church needs to get on board and on track with Jesus. Jesus came and he bled and he died an excruciatingly painful, horrific death on a cross for you and me. Not so that we could just go and do whatever we feel like doing, not so that we can just come up with our own agenda and push whatever we feel is proper. He did that so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be washed clean, given eternal life, and made new. And in all of this, it's so that we can have fellowship with him, so that we can become like him, and so that we can partner with him to build his church and advance his kingdom. The gospel matters most. Without Jesus, people are going to hell. The only answer is Jesus. I've said many times, no YouTuber is going to save you. No government official is going to save you. No mentor, no one you look up to is going to save you. You can't save yourself. Jesus Christ alone is Savior. That is what we need to get into the world. And if we're never in the world, we can never reach the world. If all we care about is our opinion and our issue and our rights and our entitlement and what we think is proper and what we want to see and how we like it, they're never going to care. Nothing can stop Jesus and his church. But the church needs to get on board and on track with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've made a way where there was no way. Father, we thank you that you know the end from the beginning. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. There is none like you. You are in control. There are many things you've chosen to do in and through us, so we absolutely have responsibility. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will show us how to do just that, how to take responsibility, how to partner with you in what you're doing. Help us to leave distractions as distractions. Let them be a hobby and an interest, not the mission. Help us to be in unity so that we can move forward as a mighty army in your name. Help us to be in unity so that we can have authority and power that the world will listen to. Help us to display with our lives and our worship and our service and all that we do in our lives and in church. Help us to do it in a way that the world sees that we have something they need. That they see in us something they want. Help us to adapt whatever it is we need to adapt in style or presentation or whatever it is. But help us to never, ever compromise the mission and the purpose you've given your church. Help us to never replace what matters most with something that matters a little. Help us to be ambassadors of your kingdom. A light in the darkness. We ask for authority and power and anointing to do just that. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give us new life this new year. That all the changes we endeavor to make in and of ourselves, all the things that we choose to stop doing, you'll give us the power and ability to stop doing. All of the things we choose and decide to start doing, you'll give us the power and ability to start doing. Help us to love, serve, and become. In Jesus' name. Amen.